Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight. Let me ask you all a question. Is anyone out there offended by the fact that I refer to myself as a medicine man there in the opening? Because I got into a little discussion with somebody earlier in the week, and you know, certainly I don't want to claim anything that's not. I mean, I don't make the claim that I am connected to the first peoples by blood, and I spoke to someone today who told me that calling myself a medicine man implies that, and I don't think that it does. Especially since I go out of my way to say that I'm not. But I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, well, I do. Sometimes I do like to offend people, but I don't want to offend anybody over that. I don't want people to believe that I'm making a claim that I'm not making. So if anyone wants to chime in on that, you may do so at my Gmail address. That's mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. I'm trying to get better about actually checking my Gmail address. There's also the Facebook page, which is Mudtoe Sasquatch, and you can leave me a comment there. There's also my blog, mudtoesasquatch.com, and all of these are MudToeSasquatch. And at mudtoesasquatch.com, you can see samples of my writing. Short samples, they're about usually between 600 and 1,000 words, so you can read them very easily in one sitting. Just sort of what the radio show is like, just whatever happens to be on my mind at the moment I'm writing it. I post a new one on Tuesdays and Fridays. I did happen to miss last Tuesdays for reasons that I talked about in the show. But you can post comments to the blog entries. But I do ask if you do that, and they're, what is it called? They're moderated comments, which means I look at them, and then if I press the little button, then they display on the website. The only reason I would not press the little button is if you say something just totally racist or sexist, or you say gays can't get married, but that's, or even if you did say something like that. I mean, you know what I mean. If you said something just for really asinine and a douchebag about something, then I probably would not pass your comment on. I also would not pass it on if it obviously comes from a bot. So I do ask you to, in your comments, say something about the article that you're commenting on so I know that you are a human being and not a machine. Subject to those two limitations, your comment should go straight through, and I love to see them. Because when I don't get any comments, I just have to make this thing up as I go. And that can get ugly, as some of you who have seen who have listened to the show before can attest. I'm looking here. Okay, I can come back to that. I got a couple comments on my Facebook page. I wanted to see if someone was trying to communicate with me in real time. I'm ostensibly able to communicate in real time over my interface here that I'm doing with the radio, but I seldom have good luck with that. So I usually just leave that alone and talk. And I just talk for half an hour and y'all listen. And if you have a comment again about what I'm saying, please do share it because I love to hear from you. There's the email address, that's Gmail, so it's mudtoesasquatch@gmail, I already said that. The blog is mudtoesasquatch.com, and won't even go back there. And what was the other thing? Oh, Facebook? No, I didn't say the Facebook, it's Facebook page, mudtoesasquatch. And that one is actually three separate words, mudtoesasquatch. The other ones all have to run together for internet-y reasons. So, Next thing I usually do is talk about the other shows on With Insights, which is this particular channel of Blog Talk Radio that I am broadcasting on right now, so let's do that. Iggy and Rosa have their show, their Intuitive Readings show, on Mondays at 6 p.m. And then Jenny Seek does the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. And then Heather Tapia has Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour, which I believe is still 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. And then there's little old me, Mudtoe Sasquatch, Mudtoe at Midnight. Fridays at midnight, or maybe it's Saturdays. It depends on how you count what the day is. It's the end of Friday, the beginning of Saturday. That's where I'm at. Took me a while. I know it's very confusing when I've said that in the past, that it was Friday, but it was also Saturday. It's the end. I thought it's actually a lot clearer if I just say, look, it's the end of Friday, it's the beginning of Saturday. That's where you find it. So, here we are. Obviously, you found it. You're listening to it. Unless you're listening to it on the archive, but then you found a way around the whole problem, haven't you? So, we've done that. Now, the next thing I do, I hear all my regular listeners out there saying, is I talk a little bit about the blog, so let's do that. Again, that's on mudtoesasquatch.com. Tuesday's entry, probably rather forgettable. Haven't heard much about it. Haven't heard anything about it, really. But I believe I mentioned on last week's show that one of the things I'm considering doing, I'm out of work again, by the way, again, if you didn't listen last week. And one of the things I'm thinking about doing is freelance writing, and there are some resources that come over the Internet on that. And, of course, they all want a sample of your writing, and I was working on one, and one of the things they talk about a lot is, you know, your area of expertise. What is your area of expertise? Well, the last thing, I don't know what my area of expertise is, but the last thing I worked on was technology for student teachers. So I wrote, actually this is something I've been thinking about writing for a long time, and I just never had a chance to do it. But there's going to be a guidebook for students in the laboratory where I worked, and it was about, the little thing I wrote was about using a camera. One of their big assignment was they took their camera into a classroom with them as they were teaching and recorded their teaching. And I always wanted to be able to give them tips on how to make their video better. So I wrote that article. I wrote it, and I haven't shown it to anybody yet except on my blog. But, you know, not normally. My blog's usually probably a bit deeper than, you know, technical description of a task, how to use a camera. So perhaps that's why it didn't really grab anybody. But I did I headed it. Of course, I put it in italics, which is dangerous. There are people who automatically skip over things that are written in italics. But I put a heading that this is what this was. You know, this is something I'm working on as a sample of my writing. Please critique it and let me know. But evidently people liked it or didn't like it, but neither one enough to tell me. Or maybe they just didn't read it because it was boring. I don't know. I mean, and it would be boring. It's not scintillating. It's not capture your eyes or capture your heart kind of writing. But it is accurate. This is the things that I always wanted to tell because I'd see their videos all the time. I'd see the mistakes that they made most often. So this was an attempt to address those. And you know, I always say my hope is that my words will find someone they need to find. Maybe the students there this year who I didn't get a chance to work with, maybe perhaps one of them will stumble across this and be enlightened in that area. Or not. At least I got the experience of writing it. We can go that far. Which brings us to, that was Tuesday's blog. Today's blog is called Quotes, and this was really, really meant to be a lazy move, a lazy move on my part. I didn't want to spend a lot. I didn't feel like I had a really good idea for the blog today about the thing that's sticking in my head is ranting about the job that I just lost, and I don't really want to do that until some time has gone by and I've got some perspective. So I said, I just thought that I would go to my Facebook page and get my quotes, you know, your favorite quotes on there that you're supposed to put on your profile. And I have a number of them. I said, I'll just stick those up on my blog along each one with just a little statement about it, you know, where I first heard it, why I like it, that sort of thing. And so I did that, and it ended up being more effort than I would have put into writing a blog from scratch, I think. It took me a long time. It ended up getting pretty long, more towards that 1,000 words upper limit that I was talking about before. But I think I would like while the show is still young, to pick out maybe one or two of these quotes. I'd say 15, 16 of them. I didn't know I had so many favorite quotes. It's probably my first one here. It's not the first one on the list, but it's probably the first one I ever put up. It was this one from Dom Halder Camara. I don't know how to, I've never heard that name pronounced. He's at least he's a Latin American religious figure who agitated for economic equity. And he said, "When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist." And that I wrote here, this is the very first quote I ever put up. It represents the resistance to critical questioning, and at the same time points up the need to ask such questions is absolute. So what does all that mean? I mean, he's pointing up that our overlords don't like for questions to be asked, even by someone who was considered a hero and was celebrated by the powers that be until he started asking inconvenient questions. So that was, "When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist." Let's skip back over to Facebook here to see what this comment is all about. Getting a number of familiar names on here, but nothing referring to what I'm talking about now, so I'll just go right back to where I was on the blog. Eleanor Roosevelt has one here. No, and actually, I have to admit that a couple of weeks ago, I realized that I had all of my quotes were from males. I had no females. So I put out the message, I need a good quote from a female so that I have one in my, you know, in sort of the affirmative action version of building up my quotes. Now, I felt bad that, you know, as a male-centric person, I had not found a quote spoken by a woman that had resonated with me. I wanted to find one. I wasn't going to slap up the first quote anybody sent me, although that's what I ended up doing, but that it is a quote that I like. "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent," which is something I have worked on my whole life, about people making me feel inferior. That's what I've always said it. But the fact is, people know they can't make me feel that way. Only I can. I have to respect their opinion before I feel inferior because they say I am. And again, something I work with all the time. Here's, let's look at another one. I'm on the blog right now, so you could be looking along with me if you wanted to. "The cake is a lie," from Portal. Portal is a video game. And I guess the point of the video game was that there were people trapped in an underground laboratory. They were trying to work their way out, and there was a computer that was giving them clues as to how they would get out, and it would set them tasks. And it would tell them if you completed the task, you would get cake. And then when the people escaped from the laboratory, they were finding messages from ostensibly from previous people who had been trapped in the laboratory and escaped. And one of them was scrawled on the wall several times over, was "the cake is a lie," which to me means the people in authority over us. The promises, this is what I wrote, "The promises of the people in authority over us are worth nothing because no one holds them accountable." And I believe that. So that's why it's on there. Here's one from Martin Luther King Jr. "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." And that touches me whenever I see people jump on Facebook and making fun of people's grammar, you know, completely missing whatever message it was they were trying to express. And it says, "Oh, you should have put a comma there." You know, and then justifying that as saying, "Well, if it's not, you know, if you don't have the grammar right, people aren't going to get the message." Well, I freaking got the message because I was paying attention to the message and you were paying attention to the stupid commas. And it's a matter of elitism is what it is. We know that there's this secret code, maybe not a secret code, but a code that people in the know have learned. And you demonstrate that you are one of us through proper use of the code. And if you don't, for whatever reason, if you're, you know, your school doesn't get any money or something like that. Here is, this is the one that I've had the most number of negative comments about. It's from Sinclair Lewis. It says, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross. This is not, at least as far as I'm concerned, it's not meant to be an attack on Christianity. It's an observation that powerful people tend to wrap themselves up in the symbols and words of accepted institutions. And then they cast an attack on them as an attack on that institution. You say something about the cross or about Jesus Christ, and there are a lot of people who just can't seem to get past that. So you have to mean, well, it's our Jesus, you attacked our Jesus. No, I don't look back at it. I don't think I attacked your Jesus. I don't think Sinclair did either. He attacked people who used Jesus for their own, the image of Jesus and the Christian imagery for their own purposes. And that same thing applies for other religions as well. So anyway, that's that blog. There are more of them. As I said, I think there's 15 quotes altogether. So if you're into quotes, you can go to mudtoastsasquatch.com, and by golly, you can look at my blog on quotes, because there it is. Tell me what you think about it. I'd sure appreciate it. Okay, so news of the day. I'm still unemployed. Haven't really done a whole hell of a lot about this week. This week just ripped by. It's amazing. It's Friday already. I couldn't believe it. In a whole week, I had this job for 3 weeks, and then was fired a week ago, Friday. And now it's a week later, and it's almost as if that whole experience, it's hard for me, it's almost like it didn't happen. It's almost like I had this three-week dream, and then I woke up. I had this dream that I had a job. Because, I met all these people, and I got to know them a little bit and associated with them and liked them. They were all nice people. I liked working with them. And now I don't see any of them anymore. Don't talk to any of them anymore. Not likely to. Can't think of a reason why I would. I mean, they said, the boss lady said, we'll give you a reference. So I'm going to give me a reference on a 3-week job. And I think that would take me more trouble to explain them than I would really want to enter into. So I'm happy, I made a little bit of money, so I have a little bit of cash in the bank, and I'm working the whole budget thing, trying to stretch that as far as I possibly can. But as far as mourning for the loss of the job, there hasn't been a lot of that, although occasionally things that happened will pop into my head. And again, it's almost as if it belongs to someone else. It's almost as if it's something that I dreamed. But sometimes an experience, something that happened at work, happened at that job, will pop into my head, and I'll become very anxious, as if, oh, wait, I got to get there. And then I'll remember, oh, no, I don't. Or I'll get very angry. Maybe not angry is not the right word. It's sort of the more that there's this that sort of heart-pounding form of anxious, and then there's that sort of lashing out form of anxious. And I get both of them, not at the same time, but sometimes it's just a feeling that I've forgotten something and I need to catch up. And sometimes it's a feeling that something that I've been taken advantage of in some way and I really want to just strike out at somebody. But that always passes just within a few seconds. It'll pop up and then it's gone. And then it's just back to being something that was just unreal. Something that was, as I talked about it last week, a lesson. This is an experience I was meant to have to teach me that this whole 40-hour week thing isn't something that Mudtoe does very well. That perhaps I should emulate the example of many of my friends who do the string of part-time jobs that brings in enough money to pay the bills, and not much more. So that's perhaps I'm more appreciative of the things that happen. For example, I had this Tuesday, I was taking my lovely lady friend home after we had dinner, Taco Tuesday at Iggy's restaurant, Garcia's International Restaurant. And lost my right front tire, blew out. And I'm thankful for my AAA card, which I don't pay for. I get it as a gift from my parents. Because I can't change a tire. I don't know how to change a tire. I mean, I know how to change. I've seen the physical process, but I've never done it. Not since I was a teenager, anyway. So the AAA, this is actually kind of a funny little story. The AAA guy came out to look at the tire to see if he could possibly fix it. Well, he couldn't fix it. He asked if I had a spare, and I had a spare in the trunk. But he looked at the trunk and said, there's no way you could put that spare on. It was in too bad a shape. Okay, so we'll get the car towed home and figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow. So he wasn't the tow truck. He was just the tire repair guy. So he called the tow truck guy, and the first guy left. And about half an hour later, the second guy showed up with the tow truck, and he said, can I see your spare tire? He said, do you have a spare tire? And I said, yes. He said, can I see it? And I said, well, I'll show it to you. But the first guy said, you know, it was no good. He said, well, just let me take a look at it. So I showed him the spare tire, and he said, that guy was just lazy. This tire is fine. So he put the tire on, and it's on my car as we speak. Now, I don't want to. I know it's an old tire. I don't know where my father got it, but I don't want to ride on it forever. But it gives me a chance to deal with the whole replacing the tire question at my leisure, because it's going to cost a little bit of money, and I don't have a lot. But I don't, you know, don't. It's not something that I have to rush and get it done today and pay whatever it takes. I can work it just a little bit and see what the best deal I can get. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those things that happen and those lessons that come along every day. But I'm just mindful of the fact that that you know, you just have to shepherd the money. Got to watch the money, because these little things happen. And perhaps it happens so that I don't accumulate enough mini wealth that I start to lose my humility about this whole situation. I don't know. There's something I would like to do at the end of May. I'm hoping I'll have enough money to do to go see that Mecum auto auction. I think I may have written about that at one point. Just it's very meditative to me to watch all those beautiful old cars go across the line and be auctioned off. There's something just wonderfully calming about an auction. The voice of an auctioneer, even though there's so much activity going around, it's I don't have a I don't have a horse in the race, it's not something that I'm I'm not buying a car and I'm not selling a car, so I can just sit back and watch the process. So that's fun. I'm hoping that will happen. I guess my new age friends would say that if I decide it's going to happen, it will happen. It's certainly easier for that to happen if I'm a part-time job person stringing days together than if I'm a full-time person trying to put some vacation to it. So that could be a part of the whole blessing in disguise thing you do have. If you're a part-time person, you do have a lot more freedom in that way. And of course, the trade-off is that you don't make any money while you're not working. I did want to mention I watched a movie today with my friend Deanne. Our usual sort of experience together, since we don't date. We dated for a short time. We don't date anymore. But she usually has me over. She makes me a healthy dinner because she's concerned about the way I eat. And then we watch a movie on Netflix. And today we watched Evil Under the Sun, which I had never seen before. It's a loosely adapted from an Agatha Christie novel. Directed by Guy Hamilton, who directed a lot of wonderful 007 movies, with Peter Ustinov, who I adore, James Mason, whom I adore, but was pretty much wasted. They didn't use him for anything. He didn't have really anything to do. Lots of music from Cole Porter, which really didn't seem to fit in very well. But one of the so interesting than usual, there's a large cast of characters, and then somebody gets killed, and Hercule Poirot has to find out who done it. And one of the suspects was played by an actor I had a passing familiarity with named Nicholas Clay. I think I have that right. Yes, Nicholas Clay. And I had seen him in one other movie, is the Excalibur, the version of the King Arthur legend that was made in the early 1980s, I believe, by John Borman. And he played Sir Lancelot. And I was kind of struck because I never saw it. That's the only thing I knew him from. The only thing I'd ever seen him in was that movie. And then today, 30 years later, I see him in this other thing. So before I went on the air, I looked it up on IMDb, and he has an extensive entry in here. But then I also found out that he died in the year 2000. He had liver cancer, and so his career was cut short. And I'm like, oh, because it seems like a number of times I've had the experience of geez, I haven't seen that actor who made an impression on me. The first one was Deborah Lee Scott, who played Mary Hartman's younger sister in the TV show of the same name. And then I'd seen her in a couple of other sort of scattered things, too. And I just occurred to me one day that I hadn't seen her for a while. So I looked her up on Wikipedia and found out that she was dead, which would be a good reason why I hadn't seen her for a while. And that seems to have happened a number of times here. And I know the people, the sort of the icons of my childhood are aging. You know, I find people like Captain Kirk are in their 80s now. And I think Cher is close to 70. And Brooke Shields is in her 50s. Is she in her 50s? She'd have to be. She's a little older than me. Or is she not? She's maybe just a little not older than me. She'd be in her mid-40s anyway. So I'm getting older and I'm dragging all these people with me. But, you know, some of the people, you know, they don't make it to the, what is it, statistical 76.9 years or whatever it is now. You know, people make it past that, but then also people drop off a little earlier. And it's disconcerting. It's a reminder of mortality. That this guy, when he made that King Arthur movie that I liked him in so much, he had only 18 more years left to live. And I'm quite sure he didn't realize that at the time, and I wonder what he may have done differently had he realized it. Now, reading his biography on IMDb, it appears that, actually, I think I read biography on Wikipedia, but he was a classically trained theatrical actor, and he did that all of his life, except that he occasionally popped up and did movies and TV appearances. So it looks very much like he did what it was he wanted to do, you know, right up until the time that he passed away. And if that's the case, I certainly congratulate him, and I hope that wherever he is now, whatever he's doing now, his calling is every bit as satisfying. I do highly recommend Excalibur if you haven't seen it. It is kind of long. It's a little bit of an investment. But Nicole Williamson's performance as Merlin is just not to be missed. And Nigel Terry as King Arthur. And, what is the name of the actress who plays? I should look it up. I don't know if I have it up here. I've got Evil Under the Sun up here. Well, anyway, Excalibur is good. Evil Under the Sun, not so much. But it wasn't bad. And it's a typical Agatha Christie thing of, you know, all these, everything that happens is a detail that you have to remember, and then it's put together at the end of the plot. And, you know, it's always, you know, the answer is always seems unlikely, but that's a mystery. You know, I can deal with that. The thing, they put together this whole cast of characters of very good actors and then gave each one of them very little to do. Roddy McDowall was in it, and he was really good. I mean, he really attacked his part with a lot of gusto, but the rest of them seemed to be, why am I here? Kind of like, I don't know if I can blame, if I can hit James Mason up with that. He just didn't give him anything to do. And he had one very nice speech, which he gives his James Mason voice, which is again, not to be. I love James Mason's voices. And so I saw him, James Mason, you got to see him in it. If you've never seen the movie Mandingo before, it's in the antebellum South, and he's a plantation owner, a slave owner. But poor James, he just never quite gets the hang of the Southern accent. He's still just always James Mason. Oh, and guess what? We've made it to the, we're inside of 90 seconds left in the show. So I've talked my way through another one. So I guess the point of the show is, you know, look at my quotes and see what you think. I'm up for any kind of writing jobs. I'm doing a video job next week, or starting one anyway. And if you're looking through the queue on Netflix or in the video store and you see Excalibur, give it a look. If you see Evil Under the Sun, you know, give it a look if you want to, but don't say I didn't warn you. It's kind of long and meandering and pointless, and the Cole Porter music just doesn't seem to fit. Anyway, thank you for listening to my little program. And join me again, please, next week. And until then, I was going to say have a pleasant evening, but you really can't have a pleasant evening until then. Have a pleasant life until then, and see you next time. Good night.